Hi, welcome into 80s Day. Yes, Dave out again today, back on Monday. The rest of the crew is here. And, of course, Ronj and Amy are fighting.
Oh, no, this is just...
If this was a car, we'd be pulling over to the side of the road.
We're just
Ronj, what did you literally just say 30 seconds ago?
I don't remember. Something about...
Murder?
I want to murder Amy with my fist?
No, don't say that.
That doesn't sound like a fight.
That doesn't sound good. Yeah. That sounds terrible when you say it like that.
She had it coming.
Oh, my gosh.
She took my stuff and threw them across the room. That's not nice. She took my belongings.
I'm old enough to remember you knocking her chair out from underneath her.
That was actually horrible. I fell.
You did not, did you?
Yeah. You felt bad.
Have some balance.
Okay.
I did it to a kid in college. Did I ever tell you that?
Yeah, that was really mean. Didn't he get hurt?
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't. But I thought he did. And it was one of those, I was being slick, and I was pulling the chair with my foot out from under him as he was sitting down. And when he sat down with force for some reason.
Like he was sitting down hard?
I didn't know he was going to do all that. And his head snapped back and hit the corner.
Oh, my gosh. Ronj.
Yeah, I know.
You could go to prison for that.
No, okay.
I think you can.
So his head hit the armrest, which wasn't padded. And he, I felt so bad. And then the next day in class, he didn't show up. And his roommate, who I was friends with, goes, oh, yeah, he's in the hospital. He wasn't.
Was he in a bubble?
He was in a plastic bubble because he has a bad immune
like
system.
You. Yeah. I went to school with a young man who, this was probably like age 11 or 12. And there was a pencil that was put upright on his chair.
Oh no.
And it did create him a new
no.
Yeah, so he had to have some work done, and then he had to sit on a big velvet cushion that he had to take to class every day with him.
What grade was this?
That's awful.
I was younger than him, so he was probably would have been 11 or 12.
Dude.
That's very awful.
That's so horrible. It sounds like an urban legend.
That's so awful.
It really did happen.
In Alton?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And shockingly, there was no like expulsions or anything. It was more just like a...
Well.
It was a private school. More just like a whoopsie. These things happen. And like when as a kid, you're like, yeah, they sure do happen.
But when you're an adult, you're
like, yeah, they knew who did it.
And no trouble.
He confessed pretty quickly. He was like, oh, yep, I did that.
Do you know where he is now?
He was a friend of the kid. It wasn't about bullying. It was just about
a prank.
Yeah. These were classes of like, it was a private school, so there wasn't that many people in the class or anything. So it was like,
wasn't very hard to get to the bottom of it.
And everybody was like pals, you know, everybody was friends. So it was like, this was more of a prank and less of not meant to like totally alter his life for a long period of time.
Oh, man.
Now I'm upset.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to.
So anyway, that was my funny, fun story.
Okay.
I thought you guys were going to laugh about.
Kid's fine, right?
No. Yeah, he's fine.
Grew up to be fine.
He's very
good.
Successful.
Good to know, but still.
Mm. Well, that probably lit a fire.
Yeah, you know? Well, it did something to that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well. No,
don't pull
upset.
Pranks on people. It's not very
How about those
nice.
Cardinals, guys?
Yeah, I know.
Those Cardinals?
That's also upsetting.
I know.
Well, the guy didn't die. Let's not overreact
to it. Still pretty terrible.
He's not dead.
Oh. He's doing fine, I assume.
I have a question for Kevin.
Uh-oh.
It's a baseball question. Okay,
so
we went to the baseball game yesterday, which it's always, I love going to the ballpark. It's so much fun. So we brought the whole Jar family, and we were sitting down the third baseline, and so a high foul ball came right over the netting, right down towards Mason Jar.
Yeah.
And Mason Jar reached his hand back, because it was like a little bit behind his head, his hand back, got his fingers on the ball when a person behind him with a baseball glove closed his glove around the ball and the fingers and was able to, you know, snatch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
This person was probably 50 to 55 years old.
Okay.
Yes or no to adults wearing baseball gloves to the ballpark?
Not a big fan.
And he was by himself.
Not a total hater, but not a big
he was,
fan.
The man with the glove was by himself.
Yeah.
In a Royals jersey.
Okay.
Mason Jar was standing there next to Peter Jar, who's 11, and was incredibly disappointed that his dad didn't catch the ball that was in his fingers.
Mason should have jumped. I'm kidding. It's a joke.
That's what his other son said.
You should have jumped. It's a joke.
But I guess he wasn't quite. I don't know if he had stood up all the way. Maybe if he had stood up more, he kind of like Well, I feel like he was still standing up.
It's not an easy thing. It happens very much quicker than you think it
does. Right. And I think he was still standing up, and the other guy, because of the glove, right, you can knock the ball out of the fingers and catch it.
Sure,
sure. So that was our question today.
Mason, I don't know about where you are on it, Raj, but I'm not a big fan of it. I'm not like, no, don't ever do it. You're a terrible person or whatever. If you're a kid, fine. But if you're a grown person, I mean, you need to understand the percentages. You have like a 0.0000.2% chance of a ball coming your direction.
Right, but you've always got to be ready, like the Coast Guard. That's why you have
He's
to have
lying.
You know, you bring your glove.
So I brought this story up.
If you don't bring your glove, you just don't want it. Yeah. And if you think I'm going to catch a foul ball from my kids or my kid, and you don't bring the glove and somebody else gets it, well, then that other person loves their kids more than you did.
Yeah, Ranj said he is glad this guy snatched the ball, and he said he thinks it's even better if you're an adult and you have a glove and you snatch the ball from a little kid and you go, be better, kid.
Yeah,
that's
be better.
What he said.
Yeah.
Well, no, what I said was, that's not what I said. I said, be taller.
Be taller.
Sorry, kid, be taller.
So basically, that jerk that goes around to stadiums and steals baseballs from people.
No, that guy's different. I don't like him.
Why? He's doing exactly what you're talking about.
No, he's making a profession out of it.
So?
Everyone
else should be better.
Yeah, it should be a hobby.
Everyone else should be better.
It should be at your leisure.
I hate that guy, too, by the way.
You hang out with your baseball glove, Zach Hample.
Oh, I hate that guy. He's the worst.
I think he's so good. I think what you should do is bring your glove to the game. And this is how you teach children a lesson.
Says the guy with no children.
Look.
Ladies, he's available.
People like to do this thing where they say, you need to learn at a young age, then not everything is handed to you on a platter. You need to learn. Okay, here's a great learning lesson that sometimes people bigger and stronger than you are going to take that baseball, and they come prepared with their glove.
Yeah. Well, Mason Jar did lean over and say, I'll never be good enough for you. Because he lost the ball to the guy with the glove.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to bury someone for it, but I don't like it. I think it's just
Well, I will say this.
Leave that to the kids.
He was an adult. He was by himself. And he definitely saw the very disappointed 11-year-old sitting right in front of him.
So where are you guys on the whole, if you catch a foul ball and you see a kid near you?
I think you can
do you think the level of...
I don't think you have to give it to him.
Well, I don't think you have to. That's not the point. I'm asking what you would do.
It depends on who hit it.
Depends on what I'm feeling like in the moment.
Like, what if it was Shohei Ohtani? I wouldn't want to give that to a kid.
I got news for you. The Shohei Ohtani foul ball is not worth anything.
I know, but, like, it's not so much. So I'm not a merchandise autograph swag person in general. But I wonder, because right now I think, well, you know, I'm a casual fan. I give it to a kid. I feel like I would, but would I think twice? Would I? If it were Shohei Ohtani. If it's someone else, I don't know. It's just stuff.
It's a foul ball.
I think it's pretty cool. I think you should keep it.
By the way, I get it on a home run ball.
This guy.
You should keep it.
This guy Chris came into work looking for trouble.
Yeah.
Chris is like, you should pretend like you're going to give it to a little kid and then psych him out.
And then just pull it back.
Sorry, kid. This is going to happen to you in life, too, where you think something good's about to happen and then it doesn't.
We're learning a lot about your childhood, aren't we?
You should remind everyone that you're the boss, not that stupid kid, and you should wrest it from his
hand. That's correct. In fact, if the kid wants it, he should have to fight you for it.
Well, I mean, I would say this. The kind of person that would do that would only fight a child.
What?
I said the kind of person that would do that would only fight a child.
Yeah, I'd be that guy.
No, I wasn't talking about him. I'm just talking about the person that does that stuff. You see it at games where there's a ball loose rolling in the seats, and they're just like shoving each other out of the way. They don't even look to see if it's a kid or anything else.
It happened to me when I was a kid at Busch Stadium. Yeah. I had a ball taken away from me from an adult woman. And you know what? In the moment, I thought,
Ranji lost to a girl.
This is a good learning experience.
An adult woman.
This is good for you.
Not a little girl. It was an adult woman.
How old were you, Ranji?
This is like 8.
Oh, okay.
And this, I thought, this is good for me.
No.
This is a good
I'm glad this happened.
Here's the thing. Glad. If I caught a home run ball from the other team, ever since I was a little kid, I think it's because I saw Rookie of the Year, that movie, I've wanted to throw it back. Like, that's what you do at Wrigley Field. Am I going to get in trouble for throwing it back?
You could.
Here? Oh.
You could.
Yeah. I've always wanted to throw it back.
You're not allowed to throw anything on the field, including that. But
why would you throw it back?
Because I love it. I saw Rookie of the Year, greatest movie ever made.
I've never seen that, but throwing a home run ball back is the dumbest thing ever.
Didn't they used to do that at Wrigley
Field? They still do.
They still do it. Do you not get in trouble there?
Dumb.
I think it's a cool tradition.
I love it.
Of course you do.
I don't think anybody else should do it.
I'd throw back a Cardinals home run.
What's that?
Why is it dumb? I don't understand.
What's the point?
It's fun.
Why not?
It's going, I don't want this.
It's fun. I think it's fun.
I understand that, but there's literally 20 people around you that would want that.
Nah. Because it's fun to throw it back.
No, it's stupid. No,
I've always wanted to.
It's stupid.
If you give it to any of those people next to you in the outfield, they would throw it back on the field.
If it's one of those, because the bleachers at Wrigley are a bunch of drunks.
Some of them.
So, again,
I'm saying,
it's called a
would
good
I get
time.
In trouble?
I'm in the give the ball to a kid category.
Nah.
You
nah.
catch a home
that.
Run ball, if nah. you're just going to throw it back, then give it to a kid.
No.
If you want.
Throw it back.
If you
got to teach the kid to have principles.
What purpose
it's
is
not
the
always,
what,
it's
what
about
are you doing
lessons.
By throwing back the home run ball? You think you're like, take that, you guys suck. And the other team's going to be like, oh, man, I can't believe he did that.
Well,
that's
I
so
think,
hurtful.
No.
They're just thinking, good. I got
no.
It's
I think the
it's
reason
street cred.
The reason they do it.
It's fake bravado.
The reason they do it.
The best kind.
The reason they do it at Wrigley Field is they're hoping that maybe one day the umpires will take the home run back.
Yeah, right. You know, actually, and what half of them are is they're drunk and they're like, "Watch, I want to show everybody how awesome
that's
my arm
not what
is.
It's
I'm
like,
going to show you how far I can throw it. I bet I can get it to the infield."
It's a fan thing. They're just like,
stupid.
I'm rejecting the home. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
I like
Henry
it.
Rowan Gardner was just a kid.
I don't know
until
who that is.
It was in Wrigley Field.
I've
and
met
this
that
man,
guy.
This man,
he was an American Pie.
Couldn't throw the
he
ball
was?
Back.
Yeah.
Who was he in American Pie?
It was the guy who couldn't throw the ball back.
No. Ron, you think quietly.
Was he just one of the kids at the party?
It was Tara Reid's boyfriend.
Oh, that kid?
Yeah.
That's him?
Anyway, yep. Henry Rowan Gardner was in the outfield.
His name's Kevin.
Kevin.
He was in the outfield, and he threw the ball back, and he threw it from center field to home plate. And because of that, he got to be a starting pitcher for the Cubs.
That's what all of these jerks think. Like, somebody's going to notice me.
What do you think? The people throwing the ball back on the field at Wrigley, that's what they're doing?
No, I think they're drunk and being stupid.
No,
they're doing the dumb things that drunk people do.
I'm loving like the juxtaposition between like this side of the room is having fun, and Kevin's just like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It's quite jarring.
Let me see here. We could create a memory for a child that they'll have for the rest of their lives, or you could just chuck it.
Children need to learn lessons, and there's no better place to learn a lesson than this baseball team.
That's right.
If you throw it at the kid, then you're in trouble. So it's like throw it back
at
to the
kid.
How about this? Throw the kid.
Who said that?
Just keep the ball. Throw the kid.
Keep the ball. Like, here you go.
I gave him back to the Cubs.
Ronge, you need to write a book. Dr. Ronge.
Lessons from
in
the
raising children. All right, it's Thursday on DGS. Dave will be back on Monday. The rest of the gang is here. Since we were on the baseball thing, this is a similar baseball-ish topic. It's not really about baseball. It's more about social media. Ron, I don't know if you saw. Did you see the Whit Merrifield exchange on Twitter that happened recently?
It's somebody saying that his family doesn't want to buy his jersey.
Some fan just tweeted and added him, right? So they tagged him in the tweet. Said, do you think when even at Whit Merrifield's family buys his jersey, do you think they even buy it? He said he can't just seem to get it going in Philly. Like because he's not hit well, right? Mm-hmm. He's not performed well. And the player saw it and responded. And he said, no, obviously they don't buy it. And said, in fact, they all changed their names by May 1st, hoping to get them to change it back by October. He said, they did buy all of my 3 All-Star jerseys, though, as a bit of a joke. And then he put a little, like, you know, winky face on there to be smart ass. And then the guy walks it back. He's like, what I said was really mean. And I was just hoping for more production at the plate. Like, the topic is more, why do people think that it's okay to just tag someone when you're being a jackass?
Because they don't think they're going to see it.
Mm-hmm. Right, but what's the point? It's a flex, but then if you're not going to stand up and actually be like, I said what I said, I don't know. I think it's stupid. I think it's kind of like the guy with the glove at the game. It shouldn't be against the law. It's not the end of the world, but it's really stupid.
Not only should you bring your glove to the game, but
you should be tweeting at all of the players you want to criticize too.
You should wear your full uniform. Bottoms and top.
Yeah.
And you should tweet at every player throughout
during the game.
Yes.
Yeah, during the game.
Yeah.
Hey, real thing here. Last night, the White Sox, what was the pitcher's name?
Michael Kopech.
That's right. He had an immaculate
inning.
The
Cardinals should get him.
Nine pitches, nine strikes. like an immaculate inning, more it's rarer than a no-hitter.
Yep.
There's only been 116 in history. That, yeah. When you think of how many innings they've played over the course of Major League Baseball, that's pretty astounding. It's only the second in White Sox history since Sloppy Thurston.
Yeah,
in like 1923.
Sloppy Thurston.
Sloppy Thurston.
Well, the White Sox suck.
Whatever happened to nicknames like that?
Every time you're hanging out, you know that guy at the bar is just... just disgusting drunk. We call him Sloppy Thurston. Sloppy Thurston. Oh, here comes Sloppy Thurston.
I asked Ronjago, do you remember Sloppy Thurston? He's like, it's vaguely familiar. No, it's not.
No, it's
Sloppy
not.
Thurston is either very familiar or you've never
well,
heard of it.
Old-timey players always
they all have
something
names,
like
yeah.
some dumb name like, yeah. well, here's Dickie Whitkins or something. I don't know.
Scoots McGee.
Yeah, it's always some dumb. Like, what kind of nicknames are they giving each other?
They're all the old Joe Biden nicknames.
Like we Corn Pop?
Yeah. We don't get that one.
The nicknames that old people give people because back in the day, that was what everybody did.
You think there was a Meatball Ron?
Corn Pop, Meatball Ron.
Meatball Ron is otherworldly.
Yeah.
It is, man.
He should have run with that, like just gone with it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, like I am Meatball Ron.
Yeah.
You know what? I like this.
Yeah.
Should have done a campaign ad just sitting there with a plate, big plate of meatballs. Like, I sure am.
Do we still not know why he called him, why Donald Trump called Ron DeSantis Meatball Ron?
He thinks he looks like a meatball.
It kind of does.
He's just, you know, he's sloppy.
He's sloppy.
I don't know. You always feel like he's kind of buttoned up,
yeah.
except for the boots.
He is like a meatball.
The boots were pretty bad. Do you think he thought? I mean, I'm not. Do you think he thought DeSantis is Italian and that's why he did it?
That's what I was just gonna say. I think he thinks DeSantis is an Italian.
I don't think it's that.
No?
DeSantis is supposed to be
a meatball.
He's short and stocky, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Sometimes it's difficult to tell on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the deal. I think he probably thinks he looks like a meatball.
Mm.
I think if he...
And he eats pudding with his fingers.
Yeah. He does call him pudding fingers, Ron.
Hey, did you guys see that he's going to speak at the Republican convention,
no.
Ron DeSantis?
Why
would you book the least convincing speaker of all time to do that?
Why would Nikki Haley endorse him?
Why is anything the way it is, really?
Because the world is stupid. The 80s. When soap opera stars could become... fake rock stars.
I love the 80s. Well, you know who the good guys were. You knew who the bad guys
were. You
thought
you did.
Well,
there's a lot that we just didn't
the
know.
The Russian communists.
Naive.
Yeah, but I mean, you could do the whole like Cold War thing. You knew whose side you're on with the Cold War. And the music was great and the hair was so beautiful and big. I miss the 80s.
How do you even remember the 80s?
Golden
what were
Girls.
You, like eight?
I was born in 83.
Yeah, you don't remember the 80s.
I remember some of the 80s. Okay, Wheels? You don't know me?
I lived the 80s.
Yeah, I know, but seriously, the higher the hair, the closer to God. And then also, I love, like, the Golden Girls. And, I mean, come on, the 80s were the best. No smartphones. We had real childhoods in the 80s. I do love the
80s. Yeah, I was out breaking bones and doing all that.
As you should
stuff.
Be, learning lessons at the ballpark.
Yeah,
there
I would agree that those are the lessons you need to learn, not the ones with grown-ups stealing things from you.
Wait,
who
what?
Who stole from you?
Well, you know what I mean.
Oh.
Stealing. Like the baseball, you mean?
Oh, you talk about the baseball in the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good lesson, too, though.
Mm.
Don't count your eggs before they hatch.
That's right.
Don't count your foul balls.
Well, you can count the eggs before they hatch. That's fine. You know how many eggs you have. You don't count your chickens.
Oh, that's right. I just don't think you should ever count eggs, honestly.
Don't count eggs.
Poultry should always be a guess and nothing more.
Jeez.
Since we should probably do something somewhat serious and normal, what are you guys making of all the buzz? The last couple of days with Hakeem Jeffries talking today. I'm talking about the Joe Biden campaign, the pressure that's coming, forgetting celebrities. I mean, are people that are in the political machine that are saying out loud that the current sitting president should not run.
All you know, joking, kidding aside, I mean, this is hugely significant. This is a big deal. I do think the writing's on the wall and Joe Biden will most likely step down. He has to agree to do it. But we have senators now going on the record. I mean, this has escalated so much in the past 36 hours alone, you know, starting with Nancy Pelosi kind of hemming and hawing, say, well, it's a decision he'll have to make. But that was exactly 24 hours after he said he made the decision.
Right.
And you only say that
without saying it.
That's right. But now it's gotten direct where you have senators going on record saying he needs to step down. You have those in the Democratic Party now saying that they're furious at how Biden's closest inner circles tried to hide from them and the American public just how much his health and mental capacity had declined. I do think this is hugely significant. And to finish up, like I said, I think he will step down. If he doesn't, we have the legacy of Joe Biden for 50 years, multiple decades. We always knew there were two Joe Bidens. One is the empathetic, sympathetic Joe Biden, the character we love.
Yeah, yeah.
Two, and this is throughout his career, the incredibly stubborn, intransigent Joe Biden. And what we're seeing now is the stubborn Joe Biden. And if he remains in the race and he loses to Donald Trump, his legacy will be obstinance that put himself first over the country, that he said democracy's at stake here, but his obstinance would lead to his defeat. And that would be his legacy if he decides to stay in and loses to Donald Trump.
I think it's that and also maybe overconfidence, because I don't think
I don't think, maybe so, but
I mean, I think it's his belief that he will win. And I don't think he's right. I think most of us would agree that.
But he didn't even say I'll win. He said I'm the best.
Right,
I'm the one. I'm the only one who can. And even if I lose, I did my best.
Well, it's again. It's
but
he's
there's
going
no guarantee
off,
anybody else will win either.
Correct.
That's the point.
He's going off a lifetime of service. So he's thinking I've accomplished this. I've worked across the aisle. I've done all these things. So nobody else wants to do that like I do. I just think he believes it.
I think he's wrong.
Well, yeah, he might very well be wrong. But what might be to me the most telling thing it is if there are I don't know how much truth there is to it, but I believe it probably is true that if Barack Obama is behind the scenes in any way, either encouraging people or not discouraging people like George Clooney from writing that op-ed yesterday saying I love Joe Biden but we got to move on to somebody else, and he did speak to the former president before that, who apparently did not talk him out of it or try to, that to me is extremely telling. So whether he's behind the scenes saying, hey, you need to step out. If you're a Democrat, a prominent Democrat, you need to step out and say, Joe, you need to step aside. Even if he's not doing that directly, but refusing to tell people not to do it, I think that's a
similar thing.
That says a lot.
Yeah.
That might be the most telling thing of anything we've heard in the last week or two.
So part of why I wanted to bring this up was the reality of the world we live in. And you kind of hinted at where I wanted to go, Ranj, with Joe Biden will list accomplishments, right? He can talk about all of his years working across the aisle. They can list the things that they will argue are better now than they were 4 years ago. And like every politician has that list. I don't think any of that matters. You're not going to win this race on policy. You are not. I'm not saying this is a good thing. I wish it wasn't this case, but the presidency is basically a popularity contest. It is about likability. Who do you like more? People liked Joe Biden more than Donald Trump 4 years ago. That doesn't mean they will now when he doesn't present the same way that he did 4 years ago. Donald Trump was easier to like for a lot of people, not everyone, for a lot of people, than Hillary Clinton. If we go back to Nixon and Kennedy, appearance matters more than policy. You can have the best ideas, but if people don't like how you look, they don't like how you talk, they don't like how you will not win.
But it's deeper even than likability. I mean, there was deep disdain, distrust for Hillary Clinton. That's why Donald Trump's win was not because people loved him. He was an unknown commodity.
At that time,
It was an indictment of Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
And then Joe Biden's victory over Donald Trump was more an indictment of Donald Trump because nobody was enthusiastically in love with Joe Biden. The difference is, look how people talked about Biden. I'm talking about 2020.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus Obama. People wanted Obama.
Right.
People were fans of Barack Obama. people were not fans of Joe Biden in the same way. They were desperate for normalcy. They were desperate for somebody that wasn't Donald Trump. And that's why if Joe Biden thinks that he can win because people love him so much, he has got something else coming because people are looking at him and
seeing
four years
changed things.
Yes, a frail man who is mentally and physically not up to the task, and to risk another Donald Trump presidency because Joe Biden is too stubborn to realize he was that man and he is not now. That's a huge deal.
Yeah. And I think that it's pretty much 100% that the more likable of the comparison has won almost every time through since Kennedy and Nixon. The one that presents as, again, forget whether you like them per se, but they're more presentable than the opponent. It starts with Kennedy Nixon, where, you know, you talk about that first debate. Everybody that listened on the radio said that Nixon won. The pundits thought that Nixon won, but everybody that watched on TV thought Kennedy won because he looked better. He was sharper. He was smoother. He's better looking. He wasn't all sweaty like Nixon was. And ever since then, if you track every single presidential election, I'm talking about at the time the election took place, not necessarily what legacy became later on. At the time, who seemed like a more likable guy? George W. Bush or Al Gore?
Right, but it's more negative now. Like, people didn't hate Nixon the way they hated Donald Trump at that time.
But we're talking about, though, the people that will change their minds and vote for different parties in different elections. I'm talking about that swing voter that sometimes votes Democrat and sometimes votes Republican, because we know the hardcore people are not changing. The people that hate Trump are not going to vote for Trump because they don't like Biden. The people that are going to vote for Trump are not going to vote for any other candidate because it's not Biden. That's not going to happen. But there's that group in the middle. They seem to sway with these types of things, that the image of the person matters.
The Obama-Trump voter is crazy, but exists. There were a lot of people that voted for Barack Obama who then voted for Trump. I say a lot. A lot, relatively speaking, in that persuadable 12% or whatever that they say is 12%. Because you would think in your head, well, surely no one voted for Barack Obama and then voted for Donald Trump. But there were those voters.
This is the dynamic that we're talking
about. And
this
is what
you're
talking about, is that voter.
It's that the voters that swing back and forth seem to be more swung by going against the grain. Right. They don't like to have the same people around for too long. And they seem to be swung by the impression that you make, your presentation. So if you're making an argument on that and you want to try to convince unconvinced people, would you be better off doing that with Biden in his current position, the way that he communicates, the way that he presents? Or would it be better with a person who's going to be enthusiastic, who can then demonstrate, not just point out with words, but demonstrate the weaknesses of Donald Trump? And I think that's the problem, is we're talking about this battle. What actually matters is not your track record or your policies or your policy successes. It's how do people feel about you, right?
Well, yeah. And I think there's also the idea that people are, well, maybe this goes along with it, that millions of people are very low information when they go
Absolutely.
In and probably are not paying attention.
Absolutely.
One way or the other. Maybe they've kind of heard that, oh, Biden had a bad debate and he's old now. But in 3.5 months, like, what do they actually do when it's time to vote? Mm-hmm. And I do believe there's a lot of for anybody who's still holding out hope for Biden, I think there's a lot of, hey, he's the incumbent. And sometimes people just vote for
that
the incumbent when they go in.
Yeah.
Millions of people do that. And that's probably what they're, right or wrong, I think that's a lot of what they're counting on.
That's a good point.
And when you say low information, too, it's important to point out, low information voters, as categorized by pollsters and political pundits, that's not low educated, low intelligence.
No. Just
low
information,
right?
One, they're not paying engaged. Attention to this.
One political pundit says, or as I call them, happy people. Right? It's like the people that have a life that are just like, I don't know, you know. And I know you need to be engaged in civic duty, but when you say low information, it means people who have a life and aren't following.
They're
it in
day-to-day
and out.
They're not day to day in the middle of all of this,
right?
Yeah, and that's typically where the presidential election sways. I mean, like, popular vote and the Electoral College are different. There are no landslides in the popular vote at all. Like, it almost never happens. The last time was Reagan in 84 for his second term. Otherwise, it's basically 51-49 or 50-50 with the Electoral College splitting it, and it's the middle ground that ends up swaying it.
All right, quick test. All you 80s lovers in the room.
Blondie.
Okay, you know. Would
Blondie.
You have known that?
I was going to say
this
Heart.
This is a great song, by the way.
I don't like this song.
When I was a kid, I loved this song.
No. That's... See, I don't like it now. I like the 80s, but not
I'm
this song.
I'm stupefied.
Yeah. When I was
Are
a kid,
you?
Though. But yeah, I also like, when I was a kid, I also thought Blondie was kind of hot.
Oh, okay. That's what it is.
Is there a girl named Blondie? I thought it was the whole band.
No, that's the band named Blondie, yeah.
But you, who Blondie was hot.
The
is
lead
there,
singer was hot.
Who? What's
Amy,
her
girls,
name?
Girls
what's
have that? Actual names. They're
yeah.
not just Blondie.
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah. I can't remember. I'm old.
You know, Led Zeppelin's not a guy. It's a band.
I know.
Okay.
I don't think Led Zeppelin was hot, though.
Her name is Deborah Harry.
Yeah, she's great.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
Yeah.
She is very pretty.
Who I sings mean, 99 Luftballons? Who is that?
Some German. She was. It was a German lady. I
some
forget
German
her name,
Blondie.
Yeah. And a funny thing is, like, that sound like it's supposed to be this big, happy song, and it's actually a very sad, like, anti-Soviet Union, like, it's a song about, like, people being killed and stuff.
Her name is Nena.
Nena.
Or Nina.
Yeah, I think we I said know. Nina, but I don't know that's how they okay. pronounce it.
99
Luftballons. Yeah, it's almost all in German except for, like, a few lines, right?
Does Luftballon mean hot air balloon?
I think it means red.
No, I think it's a love balloon.
Isn't it?
Because when she
said
when they say
love
in, no, in English they say 99 red love balloons. Yeah,
red though. Oh, yeah. He said red.
Yeah,
I don't know. Hell, who
whatever.
Knows?
I don't know. All Rachel, I know is gonna, that was a big song.
Are we going to hear that one today, Rachel?
Yeah, it's coming up next. Actually,
yes. Is it really?
It's in the music folder. It's ready to
Look
go.
At that. Let's go.
That one I hated when I was a kid.
I'm gonna buy a lottery.
I don't know why.
How does that one go again?
Doesn't matter.
You'll hear it,
Rachel. You'll hear it soon. Stick around to the Dave Glover show, and you'll hear it.
Actually, every time I get the music together and Wheels is hosting, I'm like, he's gonna hate this.
But you know what, though,
if I'm you, I'm only selecting music that I think he would hate.
Yeah.
Well, he hates
You're
most
probably
everything
right.
that isn't super heavy.
Yeah.
He likes Led Zeppelin, so I play
yeah,
a lot
Zeppelin's
of Zeppelin
good.
When Dave's out.
But the grunge stuff is all good.
Yeah.
We did a Soundgarden day on the rainy day.
A Luftballon is just a balloon.
Yeah.
It's just that's what I thought.
That's what they just call balloons.
Oh, right, because like Luftwaffe means the plane, like the Air Force. So there you go. Add it to this.
I don't know.
Air balloon.
Yeah.
Does it mean air?
One time I saw someone I spell the word balloon as B-L-O-O-N-S. Bloons.
Bloons.
I've
seen that too.
And it stuck with me for the past 10 years.
I want to spell it that
too.
Way forever.
A hot air balloon.
They were like, look for the balloons. I'm like, all right, I know what you're talking about.
I love that. Yeah.
Balloons.
I was slightly wrong, but that song, the 99 balloons. Red Balloons, was a song, a protest song about nuclear war. Yeah, but it sounds like this happy little, like, you know.
99.
Yeah. We're singing about nuclear death, but we're making it sound like it's actually happy.
I need some birthday balloons.
I need you to bring a balloon.
Balloon.
Can you get the balloons?
It was so awesome.
It's so cute.
Oh, God, that's great.
That should be forever how we say it.
Bloons.
I think from now on,
one
just
syllable.
Just spell everything the way you think it sounds.
That's basically Twitter.